Can you tell us what was the reasoning behind the gambling license in this case being revoked?
Well, they haven't actually revoked the license. They just said they're not suitable people to hold it or suitable persons to hold it, so they have to undergo a series of transformations in order to even be considered as being suitable. So that's where they sit at the moment. And the Liquor and Gaming Authority is meeting today and next week, as I understand it, to determine what they make of Commissioner Bergen's report and what requirements they will have. But based on comments from the chair of that body, Crown really has to undergo a vigorous remaking of itself in order to be considered suitable. And that may include, almost certainly will include, Mr. Packer having to sell down his shareholding or diminish his interest in the company.
The report, as we've seen widely sort of reported on in the media, spoke about possible links to organised crime and money laundering associated with the casinos. In terms of the burden of proof that needs to be found to include these kind of things in the report, what sort of burden of proof are we looking at?
Well, the reality is that the commissioner found there was a high probability that the organisation had been infiltrated by organised crime syndicates, including international ones, and that it facilitated money laundering, and the Crown people themselves admitted that that was a possibility, which I think is a pretty good admission that it was occurring. I mean, video evidence of cooler bags full of cash being turned into chips and so on are pretty hard to explain, and more significantly, Crown set up a couple of shelf companies whose only purpose was to operate bank accounts into which people transferred many transactions involving sums below the reportable limit. So, you know, I mean, there is little doubt that there was a significant amount of money laundering happening, and money laundering is something that criminal syndicates are keen to do because that's how they clean their money from a range of crimes, including obviously drug trafficking, people trafficking, exploitation of children and others, and even arms trades and so on. So, you know, it's a pretty significant issue, and it's one that Crown clearly wasn't paying enough attention to, at the very least, and that's why members of its board now appear to be resigning on a daily basis.
So how will the other Crown casinos be affected by this?
Oh, it's a $64 billion question, really. Mm. And in fact, the findings of impropriety that Commissioner Bergen came up with were all based on activities already occurring at both Crown Melbourne and Crown Perth, where they operate two casinos. And, I mean, the reality is that unless both the regulators in WA and Victoria take this seriously, then they'll become a laughing stock. Indeed, the Premier of Victoria, Dan Andrews, said yesterday, I think, that they would have a good look at what Commissioner Bergen had found, and if there was a need for beefing up the regulators' powers and resources, then that would occur, and that would seem to be the logical path. I hope that's what occurs. However, there's still outstanding breaches of their regulatory requirements, which have yet to be sanctioned or prosecuted. So, unless that occurs, that will also be a pretty clear signal that Crown can get away with anything. I think, however, that, you know, the tide has turned, and scrutiny of casinos in Australia is going to get a lot more serious unless, you know, our governments are prepared to let criminal activity and indeed significant gambling harm go unchecked.
Yeah, there's been talk of this independent casino commission to kind of oversee and monitor some of the casinos sort of affected in this kind of region. How would this actually work? I mean, these issues that we're talking about, they haven't come out of a void sort of thing. We've kind of been aware of this kind of issue for a long, long time. So yep. How would this kind of independent commission really solve those kind of problems?
All right, well, the main problem in Australia is that gambling regulators tend to be underpowered. They don't have sufficient powers to do what's needed. They tend to be reactive rather than proactive. They don't go looking for problems. They just sit back and wait for them to pop up and hopefully ignore them when they do, which seems to be what's happening in Victoria regularly. And they are, I guess you could say, very much under-resourced, and they have a clear message from their governments that casinos are big employers, big political donors, and we leave them pretty much alone to do their own thing. So that's, I guess you could say, the culture of gambling regulation in Australia. Now, Commissioner Bergin recommended an independent casino commission with sweeping powers, absolute power over the granting of licences and the sanctioning of breaches of the terms of those licences, and with the powers of a standing royal commission. I mean, no gambling regulator in Australia can compel evidence. They can't examine witnesses. They just simply have to rely on people telling them whatever they want. So what it means is beefing it up and giving it the power that Commissioner Bergin's commission inquiry had. Now, the reason she got to the bottom of this is because she could bring in the witnesses, get evidence from a range of sources, was assisted by senior counsel who could interrogate the witnesses correctly and properly in you know, in accordance with courtroom-type procedures, and get to the bottom of things. So you can't really run a business like a casino without it being under threat from crime you know, criminal activity. And so, you know, even the best managed casinos in the world are magnets for criminals and money laundering activities and so on. And so if you really want to stay on top of this, you've got to have a body regulating them which has the powers that a royal commission has, a standing royal commission, to summon witnesses, get them to testify under oath, to prosecute them if they lie, and to make sure that you get to the bottom of things in an active way. So when there are rumours that such and such is happening, you can find out fast whether it's true or not and deliver the appropriate sanctions. Now, at the moment, none of that happens in Australia. None of it has happened in Australia until the Bergin Commission.
And just finally, you did mention there, of course, James Packer likely stepping out and, some of the board currently stepping down at the moment. But what is the path forward looking like for James Packer and Crown Casinos?
Well, you know, I suppose Mr. Packer will have to console himself with life aboard his luxury yacht in the South Pacific. You know, I mean, whatever happens, Mr. Packer is a wealthy man, and I'm sure he has other interests that he can pursue if he does step down from the casino business. He may well maintain a stake in Crown. It will probably end up doing what is necessary to satisfy the regulator in New South Wales, although that's very much a matter for them. And, of course, the ongoing business in Perth and Melbourne is very unlikely that they will lose their licences, although that may occur. So I think probably Mr. Packer will take a backward step, stop being a casino mogul, be a more passive investor, and eventually, when the market's right, he may sell down his total share and put it into something else.
Well, Chas, do appreciate you joining us on this one, giving us a bit of insight into this one this morning.
No worries. Have a great day.
You too.